Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at Harrisonburg and our Elkton campus at 9 or 10:30 a.m. or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45 a.m. Explore to celebrate recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
Well, it's good to be back here. As was mentioned by Pastor Joe, I was here about 20 years ago, and we were here for winter retreat, and I was doing a message on noise. And I decided one of the ways that we would represent noise is through media. And this was before we had smartphones and all that kind of stuff. So I had newspaper and cans and magazines, and I had pretty much trashed the whole place. And some of you might have been here that day, and you came in, and your auditorium, your sanctuary was trashed, and I was talking about noise. And I think by the time we cleaned it up and I finished the message, it was okay. But I don't know. It took 20 years for me to be invited back, so maybe not. I don't know. How many of you folks here today believe that the Word of God is true? All right? And that what God says that He'll do, He'll do. You've been in a series called Grace is Greater. Grace is Greater. And so this morning, we're going to talk about grace being greater than our guilt. Have you ever had your past creep up on you? I mean, like a rerun that you can't mute. I mean, you try to swipe away at it, but the guilt keeps popping up like spam in the inbox or some kind of playlist that you can't get rid of. Or maybe the ads that try to trick you into giving away some of your social security numbers or something like that. And you want to delete it, and you try to delete it, and you keep on pushing the thing, saying there's spam, but it just keeps coming back again and again and again. The truth, guilt loves to hang around. I mean, it loves to hang around. But today, we're going to flip the script on that, because when grace moves in, guilt moves out. Can you say that with me today? When grace, guilt, say it like you believe it. When yeah. Here's where we're heading today. By the end of this message, you will see that God's grace doesn't just handle your yesterday. It fuels your today and your tomorrow. And if you grab this, idea that when grace moves in, guilt moves out, it'll change everything about the way you live your life and the way you see people around you. The main point is this: grace is greater than guilt. No matter what your past, it can't lock you down when grace moves in, because grace is greater than your past. Grace is greater than your regrets, and grace is greater than your guilt. Say it with me: grace is greater than guilt. It's greater than guilt every time. People wear guilt like it's permanent ink. Some try to scrub it off, blaming others, comparing with themselves with someone else worse. I mean, I never compare myself with someone better than me. If I'm going to compare myself with someone, I'm going to compare myself with someone worse than me. And I can say something like this: well, I'm not as bad as they are. But the comparison is to Jesus Christ, right? And so they try to distract themselves with whatever's trending, numbing those voices inside of them. But here's the thing: only grace erases guilt for good. Here's the reality here today. Today, there's something. You've been here. I'm assuming the saints are here. There might be some sinners here too. Thank God for saints and sinners. That's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. They're in the house of the Lord. But here's the deal. Some of you have been Christians for a long time, and you have that thing that's gnawing at you. And the adversary keeps on bringing it and throwing it in your face and throwing it in your face and saying that you can't be the Christian that God has called you to be, that Jesus died for you to be, because of guilt. My prayer for you today is that guilt, when we're done today, will be thrown in the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. Let's do some real talk here. Regret over the words maybe that you said in anger. Regret maybe you stole something when you were a little kid and you never kind of made it right. Maybe there's some shame about secrets that no one else knows about, and you carry those secrets. Maybe it's guilt that sticks from decisions you wish you could take back. Whatever your checklist is, no matter how deep, no matter how many times you circle back, grace can handle it. I want to read the main scripture for today. It comes from Psalm 51. Listen to what it says. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash away my iniquity, and cleanse me from sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear your joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sin and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. There's some of us who can resonate with that prayer. We've prayed that prayer. We've been there. We know what it means to be broken and crushed. We know what it means to have guilt before us. This psalm, if you read the top of it, says a psalm of David. David, a man after God's own heart. How in the world did David end up in this situation? This psalm is his psalm. It's a psalm of a broken man. I mean, let's look at his life. He had this fairy tale beginning. He's a shepherd boy. He's loved by God. He's anointed as king at age 15. It's an amazing story. He defeats the Goliath, the giant. I mean, and he becomes king. And the Bible says that, you know, his sin, he's up on a rooftop and he sees something that's not his. And he goes after what is not his. And there's consequences for what he does. And instead of kind of confessing, instead of kind of coming out with it, he begins to cover it up. He does this thing where he arranges a plot for murder, a hire for murder. But then one day Nathan comes, the prophet. And Nathan comes and tells David about his sin. And David in Psalm 51 is wrecked over his sin. You can read it, no filters, no fake apologies. And he says, wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me. My sin is always before me. That's guilt. That's guilt. But listen, he doesn't stay stuck there. He asks for mercy, for cleansing, for grace. Romans 8, 1 to 2 reminds us, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. Paul was saying to the Roman church, and he's saying to those of us today, that if you are in Christ Jesus, you don't have to hang on to guilt. That if you're in Christ Jesus, you can let it go. If you're in Christ Jesus, you can believe that Christ can forgive you and he can throw away your guilt, because when grace steps in, guilt goes out. The problem is some of us don't really believe in grace. My mom is about 82 years old. I told a story about my dad on Friday, but my mom is 82 years old. And my mom just does not believe that somehow all the stuff that she's done, she can be forgiven for. She just believes that out of all the other people in the world, that God can forgive other people. Actually, she doesn't even really believe that either, because if you don't believe in grace for you, you don't believe in grace for other people, really. And she just believes that God can't forgive her. And I always say to my mom, that's pride. Because what you're saying is God can do it in everybody else's life, but he can't do it in your life. There are some saved people in here today, online or listening to me in the house here, who you've been saved and God has kind of washed you and you're still holding on to guilt. Let it go. My sacrifice, oh God, is a broken spirit, a contrite heart you will not despise. Grace, God's unmerited favor. Grace, God not giving us what we do deserve, hell, but giving us what we don't deserve, heaven. Grace. Grace. The old song says, grace that is greater than all our sin. Grace throws guilt out and condemnation gets evicted. Have you ever had a moment when your past hits you in the face? Where your past that you thought you had forgotten about and has gone away and it just kind of hits you in your face again? Maybe it was a late night scroll with someone perfect feed that made you feel like a fraud. Maybe it was a combo that brought up stuff you thought you outgrew. I carried guilt for a little while because I grew up in the church. I told the story, the church raised me. I went back to my biological family's house and it was a house of dysfunction and the church raised me and they taught me leadership and everything was going great. I was a good Christian boy. I mean, as good as I could be, you know, with the grace of God. But at 16, God had called me to ministry and I did not want to go. I did not want to do the ministry thing. I did not want to do it. I had a pastor who was a great pastor and he just kind of lived frugally. And he would, back in the day, you would have those hanging things where you would hang your clothes out with clothespins. And I would see his underwear and they would have holes in them. And I would say, God, I don't want to live like that. So here's what I do, God. I will tithe 30% if you let me be a businessman. I'll tithe 30%. How many people know you can't say no to God and have things continue to go as they were? So I said no to God, and some of you will recognize this. I decided to live the lifestyles of the rich and famous, Robin Leach. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And I had 1 foot in the world, and I had 1 foot in the church, and I started to live a fraudulent life. And I started to do things I would have never done. I was a manager at a retail store, and I was living in this $1,300 apartment back in 1985. Lifestyles of the rich and famous. And my brother and I were living together, and he wasn't paying his part of the rent. And so I had to pay the rent. And so I started to do things like, what we call embezzling from the company. And I thought I was getting away with it, and every time it would do it, it seemed as it would get easier and easier and easier. And one day, the regional manager came in, and they were taking me to this award ceremony, but it wasn't an award ceremony. I got there and there was a board and everything that I had forged was on that board. Every document. It was my Nathan moment. And I remember the guy saying, well, you're going to have to make restitution or you're going to jail. And I remember I was so kind of messed up that I said to the district manager when we were leaving, do I still have a job? I went to my dad. My dad was an old school guy. And I said, Dad, I need $7,000 or I'm going to go to jail. And he said to me, "You believe money grows on trees? You've been there?" And my dad gave me the $7,000 at 25% interest. He taught me a lesson there. But that was grace. That was grace. And I remember sitting in my apartment. My apartment was going to be gone because I lost my job. My furniture was gone. And I was sitting in my apartment, and I was frustrated, and I was drinking at the time and all of that kind of junk. And I drank something, and it was going really badly, and I was throwing up. And my twin sister, who was in Germany, happened to come home by surprise. She came to my apartment, she pushed the door and it opened, and she turned my head over as I was choking in my own vomit. And the next day, God said to me, are you ready now? And I said, yes, grace. I wouldn't have thought that God would even take me back, grace. God said, I want you to go prepare for ministry. I said, God, don't you know I'm paying 25% interest on $7,000? I have no money. He said, I didn't ask you if you had money. I asked you, are you ready to go to ministry? And he said, if you'll go, I'll pay, grace. It took me a while to move through that. But finally, God said to me, grace. And here's what he said to me. You'll be able to move through that when you can stand up in front of audience and tell that story and can say to them, grace. I don't know what you've been through. I don't know what your secrets are. I don't know what's the thing that you can't get over. But can I tell you this morning, when grace comes in, guilt moves out. Here's the wild part. When I finally brought it to Jesus, grace did what my willpower, what my excuses, what my distractions could never do. The weight dropped off and I got breathing room. Grace wasn't about ignoring my past. It wasn't about making excuses for my past. It was Jesus reaching out and saying, I see it all, I paid for it all, and you get to live free now because grace is greater than your guilt. When grace moves in, guilt moves out. When grace moves in, shame moves out. When grace moves in, regret moves out. Let that echo in your heart, so it drowns out every lie, because the adversary loves to tell us that we can't do this and we're not worthy of that. And God says, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. Paul began to say something like this, so I'm going to boast in my weakness. I'm going to boast in my weakness because when I'm weak, he becomes strong. Grace is greater than guilt. So how does it work? Let me give you some practical things. If you're a person that writes things down, this would be a great time to write it down. If you're a person that takes a picture of the screen, this would be a great time to do it. Get honest with your guilt. Don't hide, don't run, name it. Write it down if you need to and confess it to God. Get honest, don't hide it, don't put your head in the sand, don't ignore it, name it, write it down. And confess it. Ask for grace on repeat. No expiration date. God's grace isn't stingy. It's unlimited. Ask him for grace. Break the comparison game. Don't measure yourself against someone who's worse or someone who's better. Stop measuring yourself. Be who God has created you to be. You're unique. God wants to do something in you. He wants to work something in you, not you comparing yourself to someone else. Find yourself some people, some grace people. You know what I've discovered? It's really easy to find people who condemn. It's really easy to find negative people. And if you can't find any, you might be the negative person. Ouch, James, ouch. Find yourself a group of people who are grace people. Surround yourself with people who remind you of the truth and not of your mess. Find the people and then move forward. Let grace fuel your next step. Take one practical move in freedom. Connect with someone. Serve. Apologize. Start again. Some of us need to make restitution. And that's what's keeping us feeling guilty. I remember going to my pastor at the time and saying to him, I need to speak to the church. I'm not sure I would let somebody do this if they asked me today, but he let me do it. And I got up in front of the church that day, the church who had raised me, the church who had cared for me, who loved me, who taught me leadership. And I said, I'm not the person that you think I am. And I began to tell the story to that church that day. And in that moment, God just used that church to come alongside me, to hug me up. And that church, when I said to him that God had called me, that church raised some money, put me in the van, their van, and took me to East Nazarene College. Grace. Sometimes we just need to make right what we made wrong. And the reason why we can't get past it and can't get the guilt because we can't confess it to people around us because of our reputation, because of what people think of us. I had gotten to the point in my life that I didn't care what people thought of me. I wanted God's grace. I wanted to be released from my past. Look, guilt is only good for one thing, pointing you to where you need grace. It's not the end, it's an invitation. Can I say that again? Guilt is only good for one thing, pointing you to where you need grace. It's not the end, it's an invitation. If you try dragging guilt around today, today is your day. If you're tired of it, Jesus is already reaching out. Confession is just letting him take the weight. Confession is just taking it off of our shoulders and giving it to him. So don't miss the move. Say yes to grace. Lay your baggage, lay it at the cross, and leave guilt behind and walk free. There are two things that I think that can keep us from being all that God wants us to be. Sin, of course, but I think unforgiveness and guilt. And they keep us from being all that we can be in Christ Jesus. Right where you are. Would you say, God, is there anything in me? Is there anything that I'm dealing with? Is there anything that trips me up? David had to get to a place where he could just confess it all. Think of it, the king, this kind of confession. And then there's something that transforms in David. Something that transforms in him. Because he is graced and he's forgiven, he has this ability to dance freely. He has this ability that even when people are saying, are you crazy, to dance freely, because David had been forgiven much. And so he had much to praise God for. He had been forgiven much, so he had much to praise God for. Some of us have been on this journey for so long that we've forgotten what we've been forgiven of. For some of us have been on this journey so long that we just can have this perspective that we belong here. But here's the reality. My professors say, therefore, for the grace of God, John Wesley, therefore, for the grace of God go I. And so as we look at the world and we see all the sin in the world and the mess up in the world, remember, there but for the grace of God go I. And it's because of God's amazing grace that you can walk in newness of life. And so receive that grace, let go of the past, and then extend that grace to other people. God is putting people all around you. And there's a tendency sometimes for us as Christian folks to look down on people and kind of dismiss people. But God is saying, I gave you grace. Give other people grace. What I've done for you, do for others. There are people in your sphere of influence who need grace. And they know nothing about God. But because you're in their life, and you're the people of God, you can be the first extension of God's grace in someone's life. You can point people to Jesus, because when grace moves in, guilt moves out. So you might be sitting here and saying, James, I get it. I've been forgiven much. I know what grace is about. Do you know what it means to pass it on? Do you know what it means to extend that same grace to people? Maybe you need to extend it to a family member who's out and they're doing their wandering ways. They're off in a foreign country, and you just need to extend them grace. Maybe it's a person in your family who's hurt you, an ex-spouse, a terrible situation with a mom or dad, and you just need to extend grace. Maybe someone who's cut you off at the knees. I know in these days, I drive a lot, and I have a hard time extending grace to people who can't drive. And my son reminds me to extend grace, because my son will be in a car with me, and somebody will cut me off, and I have a word that I use for people who do that, and my son will say, don't use that word, Daddy. It's the idiot word. My son would say, don't use that word, Daddy. Grace. So I start to think now, maybe that person had an emergency. Maybe that person didn't get that page in the book, in the driving book, right? Maybe that thing wasn't on the driving test when they took it. Grace. I believe the church would be in a way better place if the people of God understood grace and understood that it's greater than anything they've done, that grace removes guilt. And when the people of God begin to walk free, when the people of God begin to walk free, it has the potential to change this world. We are living in difficult days. These are difficult days. And I don't believe they're going to get any better any soon. I think it's going to get a little bit worse before it gets better. But here's the deal. It's the greatest moment in the church's history. What if the Church of Jesus Christ, being guilt-free, walking in freedom, went in extended grace? What if the Church of Jesus Christ decided that we were going to be people who bring people together by the grace of God and not part of division? What if the Church of Jesus Christ, right here in Harrisonburg, right here in Rockland County, what if the Church of Jesus Christ decided that we were going to be part of the solution, not part of the problem? I believe everybody in our world is just a little bit grace away from bending their knee to Jesus. And you can be part of the solution. So let me challenge you as we close here. The band can come up. Let me challenge you. Wherever you are today, whether you've been a Christian for 60 years, you started yesterday or you're here today and you haven't made a decision, let me challenge you to believe in grace. The whole church flips on this idea of grace. The whole church flips on salvation by grace through faith alone. Do you believe in grace? Do you believe that person that makes you sick, that grace is available to them? Do you believe that the person that hurts you, the person who gives a middle finger to Christianity, do you think that that person can receive grace? Do you believe in grace? So let today be the day that you pack up guilt and it moves out. Let grace take up residence in your heart. Because when grace moves in, your best days get to move into. When grace moves in, guilt doesn't stand a chance. I know I'm speaking to the people of God today, but I believe with all my heart that grace, as you receive it, as you believe in it, as you pass it on, it's going to make a difference in your life and the life of people around you. Would you pray with me today? Father, we've gathered here today as the people of God. And Lord, we come here today and we're expecting to hear from you. And Father, I thank you that grace was your idea. Because, Father, if we had to come up with it, we wouldn't do the grace thing. At least we wouldn't do it for other people. We would do it for ourselves. But we wouldn't do it for other people. And I thank you, Father, that your grace is not just grace for us, but it's grace for other people. You've already done the work on the cross. You've already paid the price. You already shed your blood for us to be free. And so, Father, today there are some people holding on or some people who are kind of held back by guilt. Guilt of the past. Maybe even guilt of something done last night. And, Father, today I pray that they would receive your grace, your unmerited favor. And, Father, that somehow, some way, that guilt would lift from them. And they would walk in newness of life and be free. For he who the Son set free is free indeed. And Father, but we wouldn't just keep it to ourselves. We wouldn't be hoarders of grace. We wouldn't give ourselves a pass. We wouldn't receive God's grace without giving it away. And so, Father, today I believe that you're going to show us some people in our lives who need to know about the grace of God, and you want to use us. You want us to be your hands and your feet and your giver of grace to other people that would point them to Jesus, the author of grace. Father, there are some people in this room today who are confessing sin. And they've been locked in, and they're wondering whether or not this time it's going to happen, whether or not this time that besetting sin is going to go away. And Father, would you help them to understand grace? There's some people in this room who have this thing a long time ago. They've never said it to anyone. And the adversary keeps gnawing at them and gnawing at them and gnawing at them. Would you help them to understand grace? There's some people in this room who may be listening, who have not made a decision to accept you as Lord and Savior. Father, I thank you for the word, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, grace. That whosoever, grace, believes will not perish but have everlasting life. Grace. For God didn't come into the world to condemn it. Grace. So, Father, today, would you help us as we respond? I pray this in the name of Jesus. In the Church of Nazarene, our altars are always open. We never close our altars. They're always open. And today I just thought maybe we respond through the altar. Maybe we will respond. Maybe some of you just need to be anointed today. At my place, every Sunday, we have anointing stations open. Because sometimes these things are so deep inside of us that we just believe that we should obey what the Bible says. You know, I know it talks about healing, but some of us need to be healed from guilt. And so today we have some folks who will be doing some anointing up here, and the altar's open. When grace moves in, guilt moves out. Would you stand?
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button to stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.